Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, welcome into Jaguars This Week, our first post-season show, not playoff show.
Post.
You want to talk about the playoffs?
We're not talking about the playoffs. We are a post-pause season, which means we only go till 7 o'clock tonight. You will hear a dripping because our studio is...
We know it's raining outside.
Yeah, we know. We've got.
Well, you don't know that.
either that or there's a leak.
Someone upstairs taking a leak.
Yeah, that might be it.
It's a big trash can and it's full of water.
We've got a leak in the somewhere.
Exactly. So if you hear the dripping, pay no attention to the dripping. It's just the studio leaking and maybe falling in. Over the next hour, we'll talk about this week, and it's been sort of a crazy week. To say the least. Phone number 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. So where do you want to start? I mean, it's wide open, Vic.
I guess, you know, we go back to the previous 2 days. This is a major news event week. And we've had an owner tell us what the direction of the team is the same. There's no change there.
Correct.
And I guess we comment on that. What does that mean? The three of us, what do we think of this? I would think that would be the responsibility of this show tonight,
right,
is to put that into perspective.
Well, and I'll start. And if you want to know if I was surprised, the answer is yes. I was surprised that he retained Jack. And the reason why is that third straight season out of the playoffs in a market that is ultra concerned about ticket sales. I mean, that it drives everything that happens in Jacksonville. In a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately environment that we live in the sporting world today, three straight losses to end the season I thought would probably get him. So, yes, count me among those who was surprised when I heard that he was indeed bringing him back.
Yeah, I probably feel the same way, and it's for the same reason. It's the ticket sales thing.
Yes.
Let's not kid ourselves. Since that Indianapolis game in 2009 that gave us Team Teal and was the only game of the season that wasn't blacked out, the ticket sales have been the number one issue.
Yes.
With this team. I mean, no question. I mean,
and it remains that way.
We are trying to convince a league and a nation that Jacksonville is a viable professional football city. And this is an organization that, in my opinion, and I have no doubt about this, drafted Matt Jones because he would sell tickets. So with that great sensitivity toward ticket sales, yeah, I thought the coach was in deep doo-doo.
He did too.
I have a feeling he did too. I'm not saying that the work they did here wasn't worthy of staying.
Right.
Frankly, 8-8 ain't bad.
Well,
in the second year of a rebuild, that ain't bad at all, and 7-9 ain't bad either. But
and Wayne did a good job of delineating his logic for people on Monday night in his news conference, saying that he was judging 2 years and not eight.
I thought ticket sales was going to get him.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, but I thought Wayne's logic, you know, made some sense if you looked at it from that perspective. But I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I just, to me, after the game in Houston, I said,
Yeah.
And I said, well, if I had to put percentages on it, I would have been like 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then after the game, you're hearing that Indianapolis is on the verge of losing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. the meter's starting to sway the other way, you know.
The winds were blowing.
And then all of a sudden, Indy ended up winning, and then I went back to 50-50. And then when the press conference got moved and Wayne took the podium or was expected to take the podium at a later on that day, I said, I'm still at 50-50 here. But I knew that one thing had to happen. One way or the other, whether you make a change or you stay the same, you have to end up putting, as an owner, you have to come out front and say, this is where it's going to be. And so I respect him for doing that before the coach gets up there, and then the speculation just continues on and on and on and on.
One of the things that I have said over and over on this air and have written over and over in Jaguars.com, and you're going to confirm that right now because I'm going to say it again, is that the teams that are sold out with waiting lists, the Steelers and Packers and Giants and Bears and Redskins and on and on and on, have a tremendous advantage.
Yes.
Over the teams that have to sell tickets, because the teams that are sold out with waiting lists never have to consider anything but football in every decision they make. Whereas the teams that have to sell tickets, they do consider ticket sales in the decisions they make. How will this be received by the public?
Although,
how will this be viewed? What will the opinion of our ticket our ticket buyers be about this decision we've made on this player, on this coach, etc.?
It doesn't appear, though, that in this case that Wayne took that into effect.
That's right, and that's where I was going to go next. It would appear that he has cast his lot with patience. And the team that I want to bring up here is the Tampa Bay Bucks, because you see, they went 10-6, and they really are playoff worthy. One of the few teams in NFL history to go 10-6 and not make the playoffs.
A couple years ago, the Patriots with Matt Castle went 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs.
And they blacked out 8 games. I think they averaged 46,000 a game, and it's because Raheem Morris. And it's because Raheem Morris isn't viewed as Vince Lombardi. He wasn't a sexy hire, a big splash hire.
No.
It's because they don't have a star player of the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
They're starting to, though. Josh Freeman looks like he is the real deal.
Yeah, but he's not there yet. He's not going to sell tickets.
They've got a quarterback,
you.
Though, that's going to give them attention.
No, but he's certainly given the fan base there something to look forward
to. And I bring up the Tampa Bay Bucks for this reason. That could be the 2011 Jacksonville Jaguars.
Meaning you have an empty stadium again?
Meaning that you're good, that you could have a good football team, a very good football team next year, with a coach who was rightfully retained and delivered on that on the owner's faith, and you could have empty seats because we are in a pro sports climate that people want sex appeal, curb appeal,
and they want immediate results.
Curb appeal, you know what that means in the housing market,
yeah.
And it has something it clearly has impact in ticket sales for professional sports teams. That curb appeal is a big thing.
Well, it sets up a storyline for next year that is indefatigable, and that is,
oh yeah,
you win or you're gone.
From playoffs or
But see, that's the thing, is winning going to be enough
for who? For
ticket sales is number one. It's the number one issue with this team. If you win and
you don't sell
tickets, that's not good enough.
Do you really think that the ticket sales are going to be impacted in a huge way?
I think they're going to have trouble this winter. Let's remember now, last January they sold 3,000 season tickets. They're not going to have a January like that this year. They're going to get behind the eight ball. This is going to be a tough thing. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that the fans should feel the way they do. I'm not saying that they should be putting up this kind of protest. But, it is what it is, and the customer, as they say, is always right.
Well, I was encouraged that after they lost in Indy, they sold some tickets against the Redskins. You know, I mean, I saw
those tickets were sold in advance.
Okay,
that
right.
game.
Well, but they still had people show up even on a bad day.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that we have to see that if this team does start winning next year, they'll sell some tickets. It's not going to be go in without blackouts. Like
this team has got to rehab Jack Del Rio's image.
Well, how are you going to do that without winning?
Well, they're, you know, boy, I'm against this kind of stuff, but they're going to have to do something sexy in the draft. They're going to have to go get that quarterback in the first round. They're going to have to show that the face of the franchise is in place, and they're going to have to commit to him, I'm afraid.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more Jaguars this week, including your calls at 355-NFL1 here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. First Wednesday evening after the season concludes means we go to the one-hour version, and the phone lines are lit, so we'll start on the south side of Jacksonville with Bill. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. You know, I may have misheard during Wayne Weaver's press conference, because I was talking to Joe. He said he figured maybe I didn't hear him right. I could have sworn when he was, he said something along the lines of, if we don't make the playoffs, that a lot of people will be gone next year, including me. Oh. I thought I heard him say.
He said that. He said that.
Yeah, he did say that.
Now, he was making a funny, so to speak, about the when he said, including myself, that was a funny. The other part wasn't a funny.
Well, I didn't think it was very funny because, you know, look, he came here when he was 60 years old. He's 75 years old now. Just from a personal standpoint, he wants to win. You know, he's probably getting sick of this, you know, fighting for ticket sales, fighting to, you know, have a successful team. And he said, fine, if we don't make the playoffs, then I'm gone. That's the way I took it.
No, you took it wrong, Bill.
Well, anyway, you guys, I thank you for the season. I enjoyed talking to you all the time.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Hey, Bill, you still there?
Yeah.
Vic says he said it. I must have not heard that.
No,
you were right.
No, I'm going to tell you he said it because it's in my notebook. And I wrote it down, but it was said this way, you know, a lot of people are going to be gone around here, and then there was a couple seconds pregnant pause because he didn't get the laugh.
He was adding some levity
that he was trying to get from a lot of people are going to be around from here. All right, so he threw in one more punchline, including myself, da-dunt, and that didn't get a laugh either. So it was a joke that fell flat.
Meaning
on its
like,
face.
Meaning, like, I'm going to get fired too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was trying to keep it light.
I hope he was joking. That's all. I mean, yes, I can't imagine the Jaguars without Wayne Weaver.
Believe me, trust me. For 40 years covering sports, he was trying to make a joke. Trust me.
Okay.
Appreciate the phone call, Bill. 355-NFL1. Let's grab James.
I'm glad you explained that because, you know, when you watch the interview on television,
right,
they kind of condense things.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
No, there was a pause about a 1 to 2 second pregnant pause.
And you don't get the feel for what the objective was in him saying that.
What he was trying to convey is, what he was trying to say without saying it is, in a kind of salesman lingo, is if we don't make the playoffs next year, I'm going to start throwing people out of here because I'm going to be pissed. All right?
Yep, that's
all right. But he didn't want to say it like I just said it in Pittsburghese.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Pittsburghese.
He wanted to soften the blow a little bit, and he did it by saying, including myself, meaning I'm going to throw myself out the door because I'm going to be angry at me for not making the playoffs too. It was, trust me, an attempt at humor.
355-NFL1.
And it failed too, by the way.
355-NFL1.
It did not meet with laughter. Yeah.
Lee is in Ponte Vedra. Hello, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
And to you.
Same to you, Lee.
I just have a thought regarding Coach Del Rio. I think Mr. Weaver was between a rock and a hard place. I think the things that probably made his decision for him is the CBA. and by extension, the continuing rebuilding project. He denied the 10 mil, but I think the CBA had a major role in it.
I don't think the CBA was really an issue here.
Okay.
Why don't you think it was?
Because I think they believe. I think they really believe that they're going to get an agreement before next season begins. I really believe that Wayne Weaver made this decision because he believed that standing pat was better than blowing it up. To quote him.
Yeah. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's go grab Thomas.
Now, I will tell you, I'm not completely buying the idea that money doesn't enter this. Money enters everything.
Sure it does.
All right.
Well, timing has to enter into this, too.
Let me add this because, you know, I've been thinking about this for a couple days. You know, the cons, the negatives of making a change now. The collective bargaining agreement's got to be a factor.
Exactly. There's the timing.
Just because...
you don't know when it's going to get done.
Because you can't install your system if you...
Well, if you do. If mm-hmm. you do make a change, here's a couple things that happen. One, installing your system.
Right.
Okay, in time for a 2011 season that may start who knows when. Number two is that if the change is made, what coach may want to leave where they're at to come somewhere that there may not be play?
But I really...
College, would a college coach, which if there's a college, a guy in the college ranks that is looking at the NFL, is that an attractive job? You know?
No, but they wouldn't have been going to college for their next coach.
And then here's another thing. I mean, money? Hey, look, there's a lot of things that, you know, decisions that I make that I say, hey, they're not about money. But you know what? You know, sometimes they may be after you kind of reflect back on it.
This, I really believe that they believe that they're going to get a CBA, a new CBA.
Before March 4th?
Well, if not before March 4th, not long after. I don't think
before a draft.
I don't think... They believe that they're going to take this right after the start of next season.
Well, I mean, the reason I say this is because the commissioner expressed optimism last month about getting it done by the Super Bowl, and now you have Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Panthers, and Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, both publicly saying in the last 36 hours, we're not real optimistic about it.
Okay.
My
sources have told me that they believe it'll get done, and it'll get done soon.
And I've heard that from people that
I trust.
And
there's a commissioner's letter that's going to appear on Jaguars.com tomorrow where he speaks very positively
and I read it,
of the prospects.
And I read it, and I've got people that are telling me the exact same thing, that they think that they are surmountable obstacles, meaning they can get over them before March 4th. My thing is, when you've got two owners out there saying publicly that they don't have a lot of optimism, I'm wondering if there's smoke and fire or where it's coming from.
Gentlemen, all indications are that this decision this week is going to cause major problems in ticket sales. To accept those ticket sales issues, you got to really believe in this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. And we reached the bottom of our only hour this evening, and it's time for news on News Talk Radio WOKV. Come back with us 30 more minutes, and your phone calls are up next here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week. We're trying to inject our own levity into the week. And let's go right back to the phone lines. John is in Fleming Island with the topic of the night. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good.
Hey, I think Wayne Weaver, he missed the bus on the whole putting rear ends in the seats, because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I'm neutral, but I'm telling you, if the Jags would have picked up Tim Tebow, Not to intimidate David Garrard or anything, he's a fine athlete and whatnot, but if he really wanted to put rear ends in the seats, I really think they should have gave him a better look than what they did.
Yeah, where's Tebow when you need him, huh?
Yeah, he's off the table this year.
Tebow!
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, everybody always said, Wayne's, he's trying to move the team, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And there was a chance. I mean, really. I'm just being a normal guy looking around at all the kids walking around with the Tim Tebow. Yeah, Tim Tebow shirts at the Broncos jerseys and stuff here in Jacksonville. It's crazy.
I understand what you're seeing because, I mean, I see the same thing. Yep. But, you know, in the National Football League, John, I mean, I understand. I mean, if Tim Tebow were worth that, what is that? If Tim Tebow were worth that, there were a lot of general managers in the National Football League that were wrong.
Here's a question for you. If somehow the Carolina Panthers would pass on Andrew Luck because they like the guy from Notre Dame, right? Hmm. Do you think John Elway would blink in selecting him?
What number guy two from overall? Notre Dame?
The quarterback they took last year.
Clausen. Oh,
right,
no.
Jimmy
Clausen.
That's hypothetical, yeah. Right?
John Elway would take him in a minute.
In a heartbeat, even though he's got Tim Tebow.
Absolutely.
Which goes to give you some perspective on where Tim Tebow is as a quarterback in the National Football
League. Well, I make a hell of a tight end. I mean, you know.
Hey, he had a big game against the Raiders.
No, not the Raiders.
Well, he threw for 300
Texans.
Yards against the Texans. Yep.
Yeah.
What did he do this last week?
He ran for 94 yards.
Wait, don't tell me about running, because
I'm just telling you.
What did he do with the arm?
I don't know.
I think he had one touchdown, one interception. I didn't see his numbers.
Okay. All I'm saying is if Elway is sitting on the clock and Luck is there, he takes him. Because he doesn't.
Yeah, no brainer. And there may be 32 teams in the league that would take him no matter who they've got. Even Bill Belichick.
This team has to do something. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. This team has to do something to help the coach here with his image. Help reverse this situation. All right. The position, of course, that always can reverse situations is quarterback. They've got to find that guy that will quiet the natives, you know, that will douse the fires, that will silence the drumbeat, you know, because
the draft is a couple months away. But there are four quarterbacks that will probably go above the Jaguars, right? Four. You tell me if I'm wrong, but Luck, obviously, if he comes out, goes.
Mm-hmm.
Mallett
right.
goes. Blaine Gabbert mm-hmm. is a guy who probably goes. And then someone's going to take Cam Newton.
Well, you're forgetting Locker, too. I mean,
does Locker go in the,
he's
in
talented.
The top
15? He's talented. I don't know about talent. Yeah, he's talented.
All right.
And how about Ponder?
They're talking about Ponder as a late first-round guy, I think that's a big mistake. I think he's dropping because of arm concerns. And I think his arm will heal, and if his arm heals in time for the combine, he's going to shoot back up.
Well, then he's Sam Bradford, because Bradford had the same shoulder injury.
Yeah,
look at him. He was pretty good this year. I guess my point is, you say do something dramatic to help the coach.
Right.
There could be five quarterbacks in the 15 picks ahead of the Jaguars. Is that one of those?
There's going to be a quarterback that is almost certainly going to fit where the Jaguars are picking. He almost certainly won't be a reach. There are so many quarterbacks that are going to be in this draft that fit where the Jaguars are going to be picking in one of the first two rounds, that for a team that hasn't drafted a quarterback since 2003, this will be received with tremendous energy, and that could help reverse things for the coach. Right now, the coach is taking it on the chin for all of these draft failures since 2003, which he should not be doing. Are you gonna blame Shaq Harris for bad coaching? Then how can you blame the coach for bad drafting?
You're conspicuously silent.
I'm sorry, I'm not with you on this one. He didn't have final say in that. And by the way, I've got the truth on Ben Roethlisberger. I've got the truth, and the coach got screwed on that one. The phone call was not represented accurately.
Okay.
Tom Donahoe did try to trade up. And the information was that Donahoe isn't interested, just wants to stay there. No. I got conflicting reports, you know.
No, I think what Roethlisberger would have done for Buffalo. I mean, think of what
he tried to come up. Yeah. The Jaguars could have gotten down. They could have gotten extra picks.
And they stayed where they were.
I was told that the response was, our guys there, we're just going to pick him. Reggie Williams, our guy.
Still makes me nauseous.
Okay. Sorry. I'm not, you know, everyone wants to hang the coach for personnel. No, 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 no. If you're going to hang the coach for personnel, then you got to hang personnel for the coaching.
You know what? The one thing that through all this, why I've got hope, you know, because I mean,
I know right where you're going.
Seriously.
Go ahead.
I mean, people can jump all over the coach and all that stuff. The guy that's working his rear end off, mm-hmm. that has supplied his football team some pretty doggone good talent in the last 2 years.
Yeah, last 2 years.
He's going to make better coaches out of all of them.
There's no question. There's no question. What I'm saying is that because of who had final say, which was the personnel director, had final say. Mm-hmm. Any lobbying the coach did for any player that the personnel director didn't
ignored.
Like could have been vetoed. He had full veto power. So I know I'm not hanging personnel on the coach. That's not fair. This poor guy is he's having to bear the brunt of everything, and he shouldn't have to bear the brunt of anything more than what is exactly under his control, and that is coaching.
Appreciate the phone call. John, in Fleming Island, we now go to Thomas, who's on the south side. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. My question was basically, what are they going to do with the off season? Are they going to go run some mountains or swim some oceans or something? Get ready.
Okay, wait. Now you're taking us down one of these alleys. Just say what you got to say. I really hate this when we play.
You got to give us a legitimate.
What do you want to say? Say it.
Okay, what are they going to do to make the current players that they're going to keep better?
Well, develop them. I mean, let me give you just a personal story of my career. Mm-hmm. You know, year one, first round pick, 4 sacks, big deal. Mm-hmm. Year two, 4 sacks, big deal. Got better, you know. John Henderson kind of came in pretty hot, played well.
Did Mike Thomas get better this year?
Marcus Stroud came in year one. We were going, oh, no, mm-hmm. he ain't the guy.
Got after the game in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Did Rashad Jennings get better this year? I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Caller. Come on. I mean,
Eugene Monroe got better. I mean, players are going to get better. I mean, you're mm-hmm. talking a defense that most of the guys were in their first and second year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get better from within, and you're going to have an opportunity to get better from on the outside.
The players you have are going to get better, and the new players you're going to bring in are going to be better than the players they're going to replace.
Now, there is a timing issue here. How much better they get is going to depend on how much time they get here, because they won't. The offseason program is not going to be scheduled if there's not a labor.
Does everyone understand how bad? And Wayne said it on Monday, and I still don't think we understand how bad the drafts were for 6 years.
Yes,
they didn't address defense until the final two drafts of the Shaq era, which were 2007 and 2008. They drafted, Jeff, 10 defensive players in 2007 and 2008. Mm-hmm. Only two of them are on the roster currently.
And who are they?
That would be your Derek Harvey, who is not starting, and that would be your Justin Durant, who's been hurt much of the year.
And neither one of them are likely
That's
to
tough.
Be back.
I mean, you all of a sudden decided in 2007 you were going to address a defense that was getting old, and you had ignored from 2003 through 2006. You draft 10 defensive players in 2 years, and only two of them are left, and neither one is starting.
All right, we need a break. You got a quick thought you want to get in?
They kind of ignored the offense, too.
No, they didn't ignore the offense.
They did. Ultimately, they did.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Which Williams, Jones.
Yeah, you're right. I see what you're saying.
All right.
Ding, ding.
There he is.
We're taking this break and return. More Jaguars this week after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now back to Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
You know, we probably mentioned during the pregame show at Reliance Stadium on Sunday that you had three coaches in the AFC South who all were on the hot seat. Gary Kubiak, Jack Del Rio, Jeff Fisher. Kubiak was retained Sunday, Jack on Monday, and today Bud Adams has chosen Jeff Fisher over Vince Young.
Really?
That's an easy decision. Bud Adams
absolutely.
Has just proven he has a brain.
I thought 50-50 there, you know, what who is it going to be? And then I'm glad to see that. So have they made, has the owner there, Bud Adams, come out and said anything about Vince Young?
No, all it says is that Jim White of the Tennessean reports that Adams has made the decision that the team is moving on without Young, and he won't be on the roster in 2011. They either plan to release or trade Young.
No, they can't trade him. They won't get anything for him.
Right.
I'll be darned.
Yep.
I really thought that was going to go the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I really believed that Fisher would win that battle. I mean, look at the guy. He can't play.
No, I know that. I mean, look, the guy can play decent. Is he a upper echelon quarterback? No.
No.
But, I mean, he's not terrible.
No, he's not terrible.
But the childish acts that he showed throughout the year and through his years certainly said you – choose the coach in this instance.
He's a
but I didn't know what was going to happen.
He's a middle-of-the-road guy and a bad guy. I mean, that makes it easy.
Mm. Let's move on. Phone lines are stacked, so let's get right to it. Let's grab Michael in Mandarin up next. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Actually, I just wanted to get your opinion on the draft. I mean, realistically, I don't even see how we can even talk about a quarterback in round one with how, like, how pathetic our pass defense was. I mean, don't you guys think we need to get, like, a shutdown corner, someone else to, you know, bring in on dime packages or nickel packages, or maybe even like the safety position?
You're talking need now, and that's not how they draft here. They draft according to their board. Now, maybe a corner will, I can't tell you what their board is going to look like. We're too far out, and I won't even know if it's the day before, although I can probably get a better idea by then. But they draft according to their board. You're talking solely need. What I'm saying is that given all of the quarterbacks who appear to be fitting in the first round, and they do appear as though they're going to be spaced out, the Jaguars aren't going to be too far from one that is going to fit where they're picking, and clearly this team has need at the position, and not just for – and I'm not talking about for next year. I'm talking about for the next 10 years.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, Michael, are they really gonna, fix – a team or a team overall with one top pick? No. I mean, where this team is going to be fixed is going to be rounds 3, 4, 5 and undrafted.
They'll go for a cornerback in free agency.
That's going to be where you're going to get the fixes at.
Yeah,
the future of this team obviously relies on not hitting home runs in the first round. It would be nice. But hitting home runs in the undrafted, I mean, there was two players that we got a chance to watch this past Sunday in Houston Texans. Vonta Leach and Arian Foster, two undrafted guys.
Right.
Hey, if you can get some of those types going forward, and maybe you got some on your roster that you just don't know about yet, that's what's going to make this team better.
This team is going to spend some – the Jaguars are going to spend some money in free agency. Now, I'm not talking about the Champ Baileys of the world. They're going to go out and get some depth at the corner position, some guys who can play nickel, some guys who can compete for the starting job. They're going to do some business in free agency.
And again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but free agency is going to be an interesting thing. Depending
when is it going to start?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, always we have seen free agency precede the draft, which kind of allows you to go grocery shopping and then work on the draft. And yet now it may be we don't see that till after the draft.
Well, it's possible, but I think we should operate with the assumption.
Well, you can't have a draft, right?
No, you can.
There's a provision in the contract that says there will be a draft.
Yes, exactly. So I just let's not stir in the CBA thing until.
But it's so important. You can't really eliminate that because you don't even have the start of an off season without it.
Okay, I mean, I have a feeling that they're not going to kill the golden goose. They're talking about going to 18 games.
So do I, but still, you can't ignore it.
No, you're right.
Until it's done.
But how can I predict it? I mean, I have no timeline for it. All I can I do have a timeline.
Yeah, but don't you have that Vic crystal ball?
No, I don't.
But I guess that's why I brought it up, because it does show the complications that go into planning your offseason.
I have people telling me they think they'll have a deal. Okay. So I'm going to go with them.
All right. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We've got John.
Yeah, let me just make one more little comment. Was it Michael that said, why would you draft a quarterback? What position impacts the success of a football team more than any other?
Peyton Manning.
You know, we got people saying, you can't win with David Garrard. And then you got people saying, well, you can't win without a cornerback. Well, maybe you can't win with either. or without either. I mean, but you can't draft, you can't get it all done at the same time.
You know, Wayne's decision and his proclamation on Monday basically assures that David Garrard is the starting quarterback.
Yeah, he'll be the starting quarterback when next season starts. But you want to bring in a guy who will compete with him through the whole season.
But he's not going to play.
You want to draft a guy that you think can become an elite quarterback.
Yes.
Because that's what makes teams successful.
Yes.
Look at behind us. We got an NFL sheet that's got helmets up. Look at the teams that have elite quarterbacks.
Let's just go through the playoff teams. Atlanta is the number one seed in the NFC.
Matt Ryan.
You know, we know Tom Brady is an elite quarterback.
Wait a minute, stay in the division. Drew Brees.
Okay.
Go to the Super Bowl MVP. Go to the NFC West.
Let's go by seeds. New England's number one, they got Brady. Pittsburgh's number two, they got Roethlisberger.
Indianapolis is three,
they got Manning. Kansas City's four, they got Castle, and so they don't fit the mold. Yeah. He's just a guy.
But you've got Flacco and Sanchez.
I mean, these were first-round picks. Now go over to the NFC. You got number one is Matt Ryan. That's the third pick of the draft, ladies and gentlemen. Number two seed is who? Chicago. Cutler was a 14th pick of the draft. Then you've got number three, Michael Vick, right?
That's right.
Michael Vick was the
first pick of the draft. Well, actually, it was the second.
Number four, team Seattle, they don't count.
And what may be the best one of them all? Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is in there. By the way, he was available to the Jaguars. You want to do that again? You want to go get that corner and pass on Aaron Rodgers again? I don't. If that quarterback who you believe, if that quarterback who's at the top of your board is available when you're picking,
and you think he's the man,
take him.
You take him.
355 NFL1. We have time for one more quick call, and let's make it John in Green Cove Springs. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. The thing is maybe the team didn't, but the city of Jacksonville and the fans became winners this year because they started out the year talking about the blackouts and the team being moved and all that stuff. At the end of the season, that wasn't the talk anymore. So I think the town was successful in that part of the venue, and I think the town ought to give themselves a big hand
for that.
Okay,
now can the town do
Absolutely.
It again? Can the town? Okay.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Now, next question. Can the town do it again?
Yeah, that's a big question. I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so, too.
It's got to be done every year. That wasn't save the whale one time. This is an ongoing thing.
You know the best part about all this? You know, I'm not talking about your email box. Mm-hmm. Walking around Vic Ketchman. How many people have been wanting to share their opinion with you?
I have gotten death threats.
Brian?
Everyone
are angry.
Everywhere.
Joe?
Yeah.
Got a bunch too? So did I.
My inbox.
You know what it shows? It shows that these people are fans and they care, and I love it.
You're right. They care, but I wish they would care
at the ticket office.
In a more kindly way.
Please be nice to Vic. That's our off-season motto.
That's the best thing about sports, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the passion.
Everybody's got an opinion.
A star player would fix this.
And so begins the off-season.
How about you, Vic?
Hey, I'm not.
He's going golfing.